This is Bruce Collins, again, your host for the Bible Studies program this morning. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in, and we trust the program encourages you and blesses you and maybe even challenges you. For those of you who would like to contact me, go to my website, bdcministries.com. You can use the email address or the postal address that's given there, and this program can be re-listened to there as well. You can even pass it on to others. You can download it, in other words, and pass it on to others. And you can also reach me at Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Now, I've been thinking about arranging for some Zoom Bible studies, and I haven't got the particulars all worked out yet, but if you might be interested in a Bible study with me, contact me and let us get in touch and see if we could get that worked out for you and for me at an appropriate time. Now, today I want to work with Miriam in the Old Testament. We've been kind of looking at the children of Israel as they pass through the wilderness. And we've been looking at highlights first from Genesis and then from the book of Exodus, things that have stood out to me over the years. And I don't know that I have ever really spoken on Miriam, but Miriam was the sister of Moses. She was his older sister. I know that both Aaron and Miriam were older than Moses. I'm not sure whether Miriam was older than Aaron or not, or whether Aaron was the oldest. I do know that Aaron was about 3 years older than Moses. But we know when we study the story in Exodus that Miriam was the one who watched Moses when he was put in that ark in the Nile River. And she watched until the daughter of Pharaoh came along and saw Moses. Moses was supposed to have been destroyed according to the rules of the day with regard to the children of Israel. They were supposed to be destroying or killing newborn boys. They were supposed to be saving the newborn girls. And they had saved Moses and put him in this ark. And of course, it turns out that when Pharaoh's daughter came down to bathe in the river, that she saw Moses, had compassion on him, and because Miriam was there, she was able to convince the daughter of Pharaoh to basically take Moses under her wing. He became an adopted daughter, or an adopted son in that family, and I assume he was adopted by this daughter. And anyway, Miriam provided for Moses in getting her own mother, which would have been Moses' mother, to nurse Moses until the daughter was able to take him and raise him on her own. So she was older. She had been used in the preservation of Moses, and she was a prophetess. When they went through the Red Sea, after they had been delivered out of Egypt and had come up against the Red Sea, then Miriam had basically been the one who sang the song of victory. And I think we read in Exodus 15, verses 20 and 21, that she was a prophetess. And then it says, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, and this is what they sang: sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. So God calls her a prophetess. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took that timbrel. But what I'm going to deal with this morning for a little while is the need for Miriam to get a time out. We know that in our relationship with our children, that if they become disobedient, one of the things we do is we give them a time out, and we ask them either to sit in a corner or to go to their room, or we take privileges away from them, and we call that a time out. Well, it turns out that Miriam, a prophetess, one who had been used of God to preserve Moses, she needed a time out. And so I'm going to read from Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, which says, Then Miriam and Aaron, and this included Aaron too, spoke against Moses. Now, because Miriam is the one that's dealt with here in the timeout, I'm assuming that she was the leader of this particular problem. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Imagine that, being considered more humble than all men on the face of the earth. And so then, if you read the story, we find out that the Lord struck Miriam with leprosy. And it turns out that Moses prayed for her, and the Lord healed her of the leprosy. But when we come down to Numbers chapter 12, verses 14, continuing the story, we read, Then the Lord said to Moses, If her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterward she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. So we see clearly that God gave her a timeout. He dealt with the contention, the pride that she had exhibited toward Moses, but at the same time, he did have a means of restoring her. And it's interesting that she must have been a leader in this journey as they made it through the wilderness, because the congregation did not move until she was brought back into the camp. This had to be dealt with. When leaders make the mistake that Miriam made, it confuses the whole camp. It confuses the whole congregation. And what was her real problem? Well, her real problem was a problem we all have. It's a problem of pride. She didn't feel she was getting her place in the sun. She didn't feel she was getting the honor that she deserved, and that Moses was getting all of the honor. And yet Moses had married an Ethiopian woman. He had been on the backside of the desert for 40 years. And apparently it's during that time he married this Ethiopian woman, which likely was a woman back from the area of Egypt they'd come out of. And there's some things about Moses that we would wonder about, because he hadn't, when he was there on the backside of the desert, he had had children with Miriam, or with, in his case, with his the wife he had married, and I'm not sure just what her name was, but he had children with her. And while he had children with her, he didn't, apparently had not circumcised those children. Now, being raised as an Egyptian, he wouldn't have been circumcised either. And so, when Moses talks about being of uncircumcised lips, and we've always taken that to mean that he felt that he didn't have the ability to speak clearly, but I have often wondered if throughout the whole of the journey in this, as he led the children of Israel, if he hadn't been uncircumcised, and if he never had taken that step of circumcision that his own children hadn't taken, and of course there's a story in Exodus about how that they had to be circumcised, and his wife was very upset with him because she thought it was a bloody ceremony. But Moses may not have been circumcised. Moses had an Ethiopian wife, and yet the Lord was using him. And Miriam realized that from the standpoint of the law, from the standpoint of what God was teaching them, that really these would have been considered problems with regard to his life. But these problems were brought into his life during the period of time that God was training him to become a leader, and when God was humbling him so that he would come to the conclusion that he wasn't worthy to be a leader and would let God do the leading. And so humility was the case was a strong point of Moses. There were some other issues that may have been weak points, but humility was a strong point, and Miriam's weak point was pride. And I think that when it comes to a relationship with God, we all have these issues. I may not have explained this very well, but I believe that we all tend to compare ourselves to others and wonder why God is using others and perhaps is not using us in the same way. Miriam seemed to have that problem. She was lifted up in pride. But Moses was more humble than any other person on this earth. He was more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Now, what is humility? Well, humility is a hard thing to come by, because the moment we think we've got that mastered, then we can become proud of our humility. And so it's a very difficult thing to really grasp, and it's a very difficult thing to maintain. But I think we maybe have a misunderstanding of what humility is. And I think humility has best been explained by those who say it isn't thinking less of self. That's what we often think. Make sure that we talk down about ourselves. Make sure we don't take any credit ourselves, and so on. And it's all thinking less of self. And maybe there's an element of truth to that, but it's really not thinking less of self, but it's thinking of self less. In other words, not being occupied with self. And it appears that that was true with Moses, that he was more occupied with his ability to do good for the children of Israel than he was occupied with himself. And he even was willing to sacrifice himself when they sinned, in order that he was willing for the Lord to take his life rather than to destroy the children of Israel. He wanted to intercede on their behalf. He wanted to be the intercessor that the Lord has become for us. But this pride is what, of course, was Satan's problem. He was lifted up in pride. And if we were to go back to the story of Tyre in Ezekiel 28, we would read, "Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre." Prince of Tyre now is symbolic of Satan, I believe, in this case. "Thus says the Lord God, because your heart is lifted up, and you say, 'I am a god, I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas,' yet you are a man and not a god, though you set your heart as the heart of God." Then you go on in the story and you find out that God is going to judge him and destroy him. But pride was apparently the sin of Satan. He was lifted up in pride. He wanted the position, it seems to me, that only the Lord could have in heaven. He was given a preferred position. He was apparently the covering cherub, chief of staff. In some sense, he had the most important job of protecting the Lord, I think, in heaven. But that wasn't good enough. And so, being lifted up in pride, he, of course, fell. And because of his fall, we now have seen the effect of that on Eve and on our own lives. We all have that nature where we want to put ourselves first, and instead of putting others first. And because of that, we have a hard time coming to trust the Lord. Pride is the one thing that I think will keep us from truly trusting the Lord more than anything else. We need to lose our pride in order to find that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And after we're saved, we need to lose our pride in order to serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless this lesson and bless those who have listened, as we give thanks for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.